this sort of theme that's been on my mind the last few weeks after. It's kind of always on my mind after Easter. And I shared a little bit on it last week, and I'm going to pick up on it this week. And it's really just reflecting, you know, what has the cross and the resurrection done for us? In a broad sense, Jesus rose so that we would be resurrected to new life. So the resurrection wasn't just about Jesus, it's about us. And the picture of baptism is not just being baptized into death with him, laying down our old lives, baptized, surrendered, all our brokenness and bondage and slavery is meant to be surrendered into the grave, into the depths of the water, even like Israel was in the Exodus. And when we come out of baptism, and when we surrender our lives to Jesus, and we say, yes, Lord, it's a big yes. It's a yes to his life, resurrection life, new life, being born again. And for me, it's sometimes about being born again and again and again. Like almost every day is an opportunity to be born again in the sense of saying yes to Jesus, yes to his life, and yes to what he calls us to. So after Easter is always this opportunity, even for each of us and us as a church, just to say, so what does it mean again? What does it mean for me even this year? So it's about a new life, a new humanness, a new humanity. And then what I started sharing on last week is that leads into a new community. Because as we say yes to Jesus, we realize that he comes with a family. That he's part of this Trinitarian Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're born into his family, and he's like a Greek family. He just has cousins all over the place. And you just realize that it's like this family's so big. You know, it's like it's all over the world. It's all through history. There's kids. And it's like this is this huge, amazing family. And we don't all get on. We don't all dress the same. We don't all behave the same. We can't even agree on what is like the family and that kind of thing. But that's it. We've been born into a new community. And that's why you need community, because you can't see what's going on behind you. So Paul said, right at probably the outset of his, early in his ministry and of the letters that became the New Testament, he said that in Galatians 3, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God by faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ. You've been clothed. He says, clothe yourself with Christ, which is everything that we're praying and saying with communion. If you say yes to Jesus, now put on his life, put on his clothes, put on the way he lives. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile. In South Africa, you've got to expound on that. It's like all these different official languages. There's no orange, yellow, green, black, white, you know, colored, Indian, I don't know. Just goes on and on and on. There's no longer, it doesn't matter what your tribe is, what family you were born into, what nation you're a part of. It doesn't matter. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile. There's no longer slave nor free. You know, you could have been born, doesn't matter what side of the railway tracks you were born on. Old saying, maybe the young people, Alex will explain that to you later if you don't get that analogy. And there's no longer male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ. And you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So when I started out in ministry a few years ago, I was reflecting, I didn't have any female colleagues. It was only later, when I was, it might have been like 10 years later, and we started ministering more this side of town, there was a lady Presbyterian minister in Melville, and actually here, there was a woman that I met a bit later. But it was quite interesting, you know. It was like there were just no women. Now we take it for granted that there are women in ministry. I got to just spend some time with a woman Presbyterian minister this week and was just absolutely blown away. You'll probably know who I'm talking about, but here is a lady that went into ministry. She's ministering in a small Presbyterian church. I've asked her to come and share her story with us, and I try not to share some of it, but I mean, so she's technically half day, if I can put it like that, because that's all they can afford to pay her. She probably works four times what most people do in a normal day. And the other thing that she does on the side is she runs an orphanage. Why not? You know? And she looks after their family as 10 children. So she showed me, we had two kids. I'm still trying to recover. They're not even at home. It's like 10 children. They adopted a girl with this orphanage. They found this young girl who had two children. So she had two children, and they were just trying to help her because that's what they do. And eventually, they realized that she was a child. They were like, no. We will adopt you. Come and be part of our family. We will be your, and we'll help you with these kids. And it was like, I'm sitting there going, and just, so this is a new community. Sometimes you say yes to God, and he pulls you into a community of his people. And then as I was praying at the end of the service last week, is we realized that every church, every gathering of believers, it doesn't matter how big or how small, is a community. It's like this little seed that is also meant to affect the community. So, I mean, clever people call them, you know, they say the church is meant to be a missional community. Okay, sounds fancy, you know, and it's like, what the heck does that mean? Well, meeting with Jackie, I'm going, well, that's exactly what it means. It's just like where there's family, family can also be family. And it was just, this is not a message about the fact that you must adopt children or anything like that. It was just a picture of the gospel. That's what the gospel does. It opens our heart to a whole new world. And sometimes it impacts on our choices. And then sometimes it just changes our lives. Just amazing. So I want to leave a thought with you this morning. I don't know how much time I got to share all these stories because of what we just did, but I think one of the things that's most needed in Tissan Hakis, so don't hold me to this, I'm learning this. So I'm sharing my pain with you. I'm not sharing my expertise, if I can put it like this. Some of you will know why in a moment. But I think one of the biggest things that we need as a Christ-like community is to be open to listen. It's to learn to hear again. And so James says this, and he's talking about hearing and doing in the broader context. He says, dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. I wanted to be very naughty. We're going to be here till lunchtime, sorry. But the old translation says men. And I just kept thinking, it says men, take note of this. But it's the Greek word is anthropos, so it's actually, it's humanity, which is why the translation say NIV. Everyone should be quick to listen. And that's why I'm laughing, because my wife would say to me, yeah, particularly you men, you know, could you just listen? Or me, should I say. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. The message says it like this. Put this at all the intersections, friends. Lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue. And let your anger straggle along in the rear. Personally, I have those in a different order. Mostly I get angry and then shoot my mouth off. And then I get into trouble and then later on I listen. Which is why I'm sharing what the Lord is like, you know, trying to teach me in this. And you know, the age that we live in at the moment, you know, with cell phones and iPads and internet and social media and everything like this, there's just this plethora of information. But in actual fact, it's like it's really just a barrage of noise. And this is my feeling on this, is that does anyone listen anymore? Someone posts something on social media, and if you ever want to ruin your day, then read the comments below. Because it's just like going into a cesspool. You know, so I don't actually do that anymore. A friend, I'll share that story just now, but it's like I just, and I keep saying this, you know, so interestingly, I counted at the beginning of the year, I think I'm on nearly 30 WhatsApp groups. So I want to keep saying to people, don't send me clips, don't send me articles, don't send me memes, I don't read them. Because if I have to read one meme, clip, article from each group every day, I just don't have time for it. It's not because we've got this massive church or anything like that. It's just community groups and this, and, you know, and pastors groups. And it's like there's just a lot of them. So I'm on social media. This is a public announcement for one reason. So that my children can send me cat videos on Instagram and Facebook. That's what we connect over. And I have colleagues that said, I sent you a message on Facebook Messenger. I can't say I don't have the time for it. We all have the same amount of time. I don't want to spend that much time on my phone and in those places. And my biggest issue at the moment is just, and with stuff that I mentioned just now, is just we've lost the ability to listen. So all of, you know, the access to information and social media and everything like that is not necessarily a bad thing, but can we, you know, the other way to say it, are we even teachable? That was a short children's church. It feels to me like everybody wants to speak before they've even listened. So Just this is for some of the young people. When last did you do a speech in class? You know, do you still do that? Like you have to get up and do a speech? So I remember in high school, that was the most terrifying experience for me. Gazi's going, it's like, I just used to pray, Lord, someone else first, and then maybe the bell's going to go. That was like my prayer life during having to give a speech moments in Afrikaans. I was like, whatever I'm going to say, I have no understanding of what I'm actually even saying. You know, it was like that kind of thing. And you know that I only learned later that the most common number one fear in people is to speak publicly. Toastmasters did stats on it. The most common fear is to get up and stand and talk in front of people. So I had two prayers. First prayer was when there were moments in my youth of saying yes to God. My one prayer was, but don't make me a priest. Honestly, it was I prayed, God, don't want to be a priest. That went well. Okay. The second fear, the other fear, that I was like, I don't want to speak in front of people. And when I got involved in youth ministry, and what happened is now most people close to me will say, now he can't shut up. So I very quickly learned to speak. But I'm still learning to listen. Really. I mean, when I remember, like you know those Kodak moments? Again, sorry, it's like an age joke. What the equivalent of a Kodak moment is. This is why you can't have the youth in my sermons, Alex. What's my brother saying to me? He just looked at me, he says, you're a terrible listener. I was like, yeah, and I am. My girls tell me that every day. Because I'm that guy that the minute you start sharing, I'm like, well, can we fix it? You know, I don't want to hear the whole story. I know what the story is. Like, how do we solve it? You know, and I remember him years ago going, like, I can solve it myself. Can you just shut up and listen to me? And so that's been like this thing of just going, like, it's been hard to just listen. So I have lots of stories. Okay, one other one. I'll tell you one about Bev, and I met Bev, and I was studying, and she was studying, and we were both in youth, and I was praying I wouldn't go into ministry, and then I went into ministry, and then Bev was studying actuarial science, and she specialized in this area of pensions. So when she qualified, I can say this because she's not here today, she was, and I don't remember numbers, but that's why 6 and 8 are so close together. She was either the 16th or the 18th woman in the country that qualified as an actuary. And the reason I know that is because I phoned the Actuarial Society, and I was like, and they said they're not 20 of them. And it was like 16 or 18. So she went into pensions, and what that meant is that so she presents often to boards of big corporates and that kind of thing. And what I discovered much later in life, some of you will know this, is that often the people on the board, they're often guys that are retired, they've been in business, they've run companies their whole lives, so they're now sitting on that board. They're not 25 and 30. They're like 65 and 75. And here's this, can you imagine? This young woman having to talk to, sometimes being the only female in the room, talking to men that have never listened to a woman who's an expert in pensions. And that's been her journey of 30-something years. And the most amazing things I love is they always just love Bev. And the guys come in and they present. So what happens is, if you're part of, I don't know, like, no. These different, the guys that sell, Bridal, help me with it, you know, Alan Gray's and all of that. They come and they present to these boards, Forbes and whatever. Forbes is a difficult one because she worked for Forbes. But then she has to advise them. So Forbes presents and Alexander, they present their products. And what they often do is now, and it was, they always want to impress these older people that have all the say. And so they try and become so clever. And the amount of times that these older retired men would, and this is my favorite story about my wife, is they would come to her and they'd go, thank you. It's the first time we've actually understood that. Because she didn't try and impress anyone. She just shared her expert, and her desire was to make it simple for them. And so everyone sits there and gives like, oh, all look clever. You know, and she didn't try to, and it's become like just this amazing story for me. And so Bev and a friend, she's in Franschhoek for the Literary Festival, and she's with a friend of hers, and this friend at the same time, we all qualified, we all matriculated in the same year. I won't tell you what year that was. I'll get slaughtered by the youth again. And she grew up in the Karoo, speaking Afrikaans. Went to Stellenbosch, couldn't speak a word of English. And eventually started studying actuarial science and investments and has several degrees, started her own company. And so she's in that private wealth, investment, pension, retirement space and has her own company. So, and she's written a book and she's invited into, she speaks on television and all over the place. And she had an interesting story for me years ago. And we were just chatting amongst ourselves, and she said she was, you know, sometimes in the early days, she was invited onto a panel. So she would sit in a panel of experts. And she said, it's amazing how hard it is for some people to listen to a woman. She just said it as this, and she said, often, so think of it like this. So, these women are now getting to retirement age shortly. So this lady, George and Wendy know her, so now, so she would be asked to be on a panel of all men, often the audience is mainly men, someone asks a question. And often people wouldn't, and this is 20 years ago even, they wouldn't go, wow, this is the first time we've had a woman. This woman is brilliant. She seriously is. I mean, I know her. She's exceptional. They don't go, hey, well, let's hear what Sunil says. Her story is like 99-point-gazillion times. It'll be the older man who responds and just answers the question. Never says, let me hear what you say. So I share that with you. Because this new community, even in our world, this is Bev and my career, vocation, life. This is about every nation, tribe, background being a part of a new community. And even something that now we take for granted so easily, within business and schools and something like it. For some people, it hasn't been their experience, their story. They have felt unheard. They have felt, it's like, I sometimes think, well, you're either going to laugh or cry. Because I think, like, for me, I think, people like Bev, Sunil, you know, whether it's Jackie or Robin or Megan or Judy, I was like, just listen. They're these women that have skills. And I don't know what all their stories are, but often it's like, well, I don't know, Judy, maybe, but it's like, I'd rather listen to the man or somebody else. And then if you think of that, so Bevinson will have several degrees. Okay? And now we're meant to be a community where the young, the disadvantaged, you know, the poor are also meant to come in and we're meant to hear their story. And that, I go, well, that's impossible, hey? If you can't listen to someone other than you who's that clever, how are you going to listen to the guy who comes off on the street with a story? So I had lots of these stories. I'm not going to have time to wrap it all up together. We'll maybe continue with it, some of it next week. But so I could use different examples. I'm using the woman one because I've just had Bevan Sunil sending me messages because they're together. So that's like in the forefront of my mind. But jump to just where we are comfortable, where I'm comfortable, and there's the other in our community. Another color, another socioeconomic background, another culture. And the challenge, I feel, is just one small component would be just to begin to hear their stories, to listen. James says, be slow to speak, quick to listen. And just hear maybe what they bring. I've shared this so many times. Trevor Hudson, speaking to a bunch of us Methodist ministers, and again, it's another thing I've never forgotten. He said, remember when you meet people, he said, but in any audience that you speak to, in any group that you speak to, there is someone sitting with a bucket of tears. With a bucket of tears. And so our challenge is sometimes just to be a community that hears some of that pain. So we have a bunch of people in this community that, you know, from all kinds of backgrounds. There's a group of girls from the Arneberg Asfalkop Heis. It's still called the Asfalkop Heis. I've no idea why. And one of the girls started sharing her story of the camp last week and then was so emotional she couldn't share the rest of the story. And you know, I had this thought in preparing the sermon. Well, how many of us have actually gone to and said, hey, can you tell me the rest of that story in a space where she's not standing in front of a congregation trying to share it? Well, maybe there's other opportunities to invite some of them or someone else just to hear their stories and to listen. And so it's not the whole picture of a new community. But it's something that I'm wrestling with. There are so many people wanting you to comment and like and respond to their stuff. And there are people right in our midst that perhaps we should be listening to and hearing some of what God is doing in their lives.